Okay, have you ever been on a trip, you're going somewhere, and you know, maybe you're on a longer trip, and you see a sign that points off to the side for some attraction or something, and you think, well, let us pull aside and see this wondrous sight. And you take kind of a little bit of a detour to go and check out, you know, something of interest, you know, like you're driving down the road, you see one of those signs for a historical marker, or historical, and you, so you pull aside and you see that, okay? Well, we're going to do a little bit of that for the next couple of weeks. We're still on our way through the book of Hebrews, but we're going to pull aside for a couple of weeks, maybe several, into the chapter 11, which is often called the faith chapter, just like 1 Corinthians 13. It's called the love chapter. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter, often called the hall of faith. And so what we're going to do today is we're just going to look at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to talk about this before we get into the people who demonstrated their faith. We're going to talk a little bit about what faith is, because it is somewhat of a misconstrued word. And there are several words that when we mention those words, everybody has an idea that pops up in your mind. You know, one of those words is love. You know, is love a verb or is it a noun? Is it an emotion or a decision? Is it given freely or is love a duty? Is love true? Or is love false? You know, so love is one of those words. Truth is another one of those words. When I say, you know, when you're asked, well, what is truth? People have different ideas about what truth is. Relative truth, absolute truth, my truth, your truth. Jesus said he was the truth. So truth is another one of those words that sometimes needs some explaining. Freedom is one of those words. You know, what is freedom? There's a line in the song that says, oh, that's just some people talking. And does freedom really exist? Is a question we could ask. Another one that we are sometimes confused about is the word snow. Now, if you live in Mississippi, you think snow is just white stuff. But having, you know, living in northern Michigan or Wisconsin, snow needs some definition. You can have, you know, heavy snow, light snow, flurry, sleet, blowing snow, hoarfrost, grapple, which I guess is a type of sleet. That one's new to me. There's new snow, old snow, fern, slush, powder, corn snow, crusty snow, snow called hominy, lake effect snow, needle type snow, rime, then there's smirk, which is dirty snow. Usually in the end of February, beginning of March, you see it on the side of the road, but smirk is an official term for that. Then there's packing snow or powdery snow, heavy snow, wet snow, and it goes on. So, you know, some of these words need defining, and faith is one of those words. Faith needs to be defined. Now, it is my hope through this that at least you go away being absolutely certain in your mind that Christian faith has nothing to do with wishful thinking or a positive thought pattern or a blind leap. Christian faith is much, much greater than that. Faith can only be as strong as the object into which it is placed. So if your faith is just wishful thinking, your faith is no stronger than wishful thinking. But if your faith is in God, your faith becomes very powerful because God is powerful. And the object of your faith is then powerful and strong and immovable. So, what is faith? It is one of the only words in the Bible that the Bible actually defines, where it says, what is faith. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read just the first three verses. And this is the NIV. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So faith is, and then the word that is used there is a Greek word, which is hypostasis. Okay? So faith is hypostasis. And that is, those of you with a medical background, anybody know what hypostasis is in the medical community? Okay, well then you don't have to be confused. Hypostasis in the medical community is the accumulation of fluids in the lower extremities of your body due to poor circulation or death. So, in one way, using this word, you could say in the morning when your ankle is swollen up, or in the evening, I have hypostasis, I have faith. But that's the wrong definition, okay? So there's also a definition that has to do with theology and philosophy, and that's what we're going to dwell on today. Faith is hypostasis. In the New Testament, the word hypostasis is used 20 different times, and it is translated using 12 different words. And we're going to go through some of those words, not all 12 of them this morning, but in an effort to help us define what faith really is. Okay, the first one that we're going to look at is it is sometimes translated as faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is substance. As in God's substance or in God's being. We have to be fully convinced in the existence of God and that Jesus is his divine son. Now there's a lot of evidence, if a person were to look, that points, that screams to the existence of God. There's the this is what's called cosmological evidence, which is really just the facts of the universe, natural law, the laws of physics, the laws of chemistry, the laws of biology, point to a creator, which brings us to another proof of God that there is design. And we look at our world today, and it is evidence that there was an intelligent designer, that the things that we have in life in this world could not have come about by chance. And then there is the church itself, and the literally billions of changed lives that have occurred through the ages because of people's belief in God, and especially in his son, Jesus. It is much, much more than based upon our own wishful thinking or our own thoughts. It is based upon God. And if we place our faith in the belief that God exists, it is powerful. That is why it said that even a small amount of faith, even faith as big as a mustard seed, can move mountains. It's not because the faith in and of itself is strong, it's because the object of our faith is so strong, because it is placed in God. So our faith is rooted in the fact that God exists. And if we cling to that, it gives us the first point of what faith is. Second thing is that faith is also, this word hypostasis, is also translated as foundation. This is to be, as in the beginning, the foundation of a building. It's where we start. Any strong building is built upon a strong foundation, and we continue to build on the fact that God exists. and that the work that Jesus completed on our behalf is sufficient for our salvation and for our relationship, moving into a relationship with Him. A pastor, Tripp Kimball, said there are at least five basic foundational truths essential to genuine Christianity. The work of Christ's redemption is received only by faith. We read that before we accepted communion. And it is because of God's kindness and favor that is referred to us as grace. So the first of these foundational truths that our faith is based upon is that Jesus is the cornerstone of salvation, of our Christian faith. We don't have this slide for the to put up on the projector, but you have it in your notes. Ephesians 2:20 tells us that our faith is built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone, of course, when you're building something, is that final stone that you put into place, like in an archway. The keystone, the cornerstone, is what holds everything together. So Jesus is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. He is the foundation of our faith. Jesus is the core of the essential gospel and the core of our Christian faith. Now, very simply, what is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus came, that He died, and that He rose, and He did it for you. That's the gospel, you know, and we celebrated that last week with Easter, that Jesus came, that He died, and that He rose to proclaim victory for each one of us over sin and death. The third point of the foundational aspect of faith is that Jesus personally calls then each one of us to follow Him. The invitation to come, the invitation to follow, is found in all of the Gospels and throughout Scripture. We are called to follow Him, to not just pay Him lip service or to be a name dropper, but to actually be involved, to follow, to be a disciple, which involves then action, okay? All of what faith is designed to do in our lives is to produce a change in our lives. The fourth point, Jesus gave one all-encompassing command, and that is to love one another as He loved us. So if we take the example of Jesus, that He was willing to lay down His life on our behalf, that is our example as to how we are to go about loving each other. We are to be at times sacrificial. We are to put our own interests to the side and to consider the interests of others greater than our own. And then the fifth point that He makes, Jesus gave one primary mission to His followers, and that's called the Great Commission, that we are to go into the world and make disciples of other men and women. We are to be sharing our faith. Our faith needs to be so solid in our lives that we want to share it with others, that we give it away. So faith is foundational. It's something that we stand upon. And then point number three about another way that hypostasis can be translated. In some translations, you'll find that it says faith is the confidence, or faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And it doesn't say that faith gives confidence, or that faith gives assurance. Faith is confidence and assurance that by the work of Jesus Christ, we are right with God. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and this is another verse that's just in your notes, Paul here is writing. He says, I pray with great faith for you, because I am fully convinced that the one who began His gracious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's from the Passion Version. And I like the point there that Paul says he is praying with great faith because of the confidence that he has in seeing work completed in your life. And he sees this because of the work that was completed in his own life, because of what he sees happening in the church, and there is no reason that it will not continue to happen also in each one of our lives. So faith is confidence in God's work, that God is working in your life. And then point number four, hypostasis or faith, is also a guarantee or an attestation. That it is like being in a court of law and presenting true testimony to the fact that this faith is real. So faith is a guarantee that we have. It's like having the deed, the title to of the land, and you know it's yours, even if you don't quite sure know where that land is, but you know you have the title. It's like having the title to your car. It proves that you have possession. And if we place our faith in Jesus, if we say, Lord, I need you, I need a Savior, please forgive me, please come into my life, we have the guarantee that He takes possession of our lives and He will never let go. I'd like to read Romans chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. And again, this is also taken from the Passion Version. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into His marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. That's our salvation. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, not wishful thinking. Because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Faith is confidence that God is working in our lives. And there's a confidence and assurance that we possess salvation, that we possess relationship with Him. If we go back to our opening verse, Hebrews 11:1, it said that faith is the confidence of what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see, which is our salvation. We need to be assured of our salvation. We stand upon that foundation, and then, because we're standing on a firm foundation, it builds our faith. If we are up on a rickety set of scaffolding or something, and you're not quite sure it's going to hold you, you're always going to be in question as to whether you're safe or not. But if you are standing on a truly solid foundation with the assurance of your salvation, you can have faith to go on, faith to persevere, faith even in the face of difficulty. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things that we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. So if those are some of the things that faith is, what does faith do? And this faith illuminates reality. Okay, so now what is reality? I think we get confused and we think that the here and now is reality. But the here and now, according to Scripture, is temporal. God, our future life, eternity, is reality. That's where we're headed. What we are passing through right now is what we are just passing through. This is temporary. And although that you can call it, I suppose, reality, it is a temporal reality. It is not what is going to last forever. So faith illuminates eternity. Faith illuminates what we are going to live out forever. We need to choose initially and then daily to walk by faith. The evidences for the existence of God, on the substance, on His substance, on the foundation, on the confidence and assurance of our salvation, on the guarantee of our faith, must move from our heads to our hearts. It must move to a point where it is acted out in trusting God. It is, in a sense, what illuminates our path, gives us hope for the future, gives us the assurance that we are in God's hand and that our future is in God's hand. It makes things real which are otherwise unreal to our experience. Okay? But it is way more than wishful thinking. Not that it is unreal or imaginary. It is just outside the grasp of our present realm. John Calvin wrote about this conundrum. He said, "For the Spirit of God shows us hidden things, the knowledge of which cannot reach our senses. Promised to us is eternal life, but it is promised to the dead. We are assured of a happy resurrection, but as of yet we are involved in corruption. We are pronounced just, and yet sin dwells in us. We hear that we are happy, but we are as yet in the midst of many miseries. An abundance of all good things is promised to us, but we still often hunger and thirst. God proclaims that He will come quickly, but He seems deaf when we cry to Him. What would become of us were we not supported by hope, and did not our minds emerge out of the midst of darkness above the world through the light of God's Word and of His Spirit? Faith, then, is rightly said to be the substance or substance of the things which are as yet the objects of hope and the evidence of things not seen." So faith is putting our sure hope in God, having confidence that God is at work in our lives, that God will see us through, and that in the end, all things will be made right. Hebrews 11:2 tells us that it was the life of faith, of active trust in God, that commended the people of old, the ancients, to God. It's what pleased God about their lives, that even in the midst of tremendous difficulties, they clung to their hope in God. And as we go on in the book of Hebrews, we'll outline some of these lives. We think of Noah and Abraham and Moses and many of the obstacles and difficulties that they faced, but yet they clung to their hope in God, and He did bring them through. So we will we'll talk about the justifying, sustaining, encouraging power of faith lived out in many of these men and women. Faith is not only what commended them to God, but faith is what commends us to God and also brings glory to God. Faith is, when faith is demonstrated, when our trust in God is actually acted upon, it is a form, one of the highest form of worship of God that exists. I'd like to close by reading Hebrews 11:6. "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Our faith needs to be based primarily on the fact that God exists, that he knows you, that he loves you, that you have a relationship with him, and that by trusting him, you have firm and sure salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your action in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you went to great lengths to bring us to salvation, to proclaim these truths to us, to give us a hope for the future, to guide us through the present. We look forward, Lord, to that time when someday we will be in your presence. But until then, I pray that you help us to live by faith and to be faithful. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.